This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to RotoWire. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen from Prop Points. Man, is welcome to Prop Points, but we are with RotoWire, so it counts as the same thing there. Busy, busy show today. We're going to talk a little basketball. We're going to play it or pass it, Spurs Thunder edition. We're going to talk about the Knicks. We had a no-hitter in baseball yesterday. We've got to talk about that as well. Alex Baruth is going to join us in the Progressive Guest Line, and we've got our best for the day as well. Nicholas, welcome back. How was the upper Wisconsin? How was the golf course? How was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was fantastic. I appreciate our good friend Brandon Kravitz jumping in, co-hosting yesterday's show. We usually like to, pepper him in every few weeks, but no, he did a fantastic job. Great to get away for a long weekend. Great to play some golf, some good weather up in northern Wisconsin. Was thankfully still able to watch pretty much every minute of all the NBA games against my family's will at times, but got to do what we got to do this time of year, Jeff. And I was able to relax a little bit, get some things done, around the house yesterday, and then sit back and relax as the New York Knicks closed out yet another series in dominant fashion last night.
Yeah, and the closeouts have just been incredible with this team. That's all three closeouts have been complete beat me downs. It's a kind of almost most of the games in the various series. That's 11 wins in a row. They're a wagon right now.
The Knicks are on an all-time run. We talked about it even coming into the series. They were on an all-time run and, kind of immediately cooled off in game one where they were 2 of 19 from three as a team in the first half. Then, of course, they have the 22-point comeback in the final 7.5 minutes. And then it's like that kind of zapped the Knicks back into this superhuman form that we've seen now for basically a full month. I mean, like you said, 11 wins in a row now, heading into the NBA Finals. Everything is working right now. It feels like everybody is playing well for the Knicks on both ends. I mean, they have a plus 271 point differential through 14 games. We'll see if they can hold on to that NBA record in the finals. But the numbers are astonishing, Jeff. A 128 offensive rating during this 11-game run. A 103.2 defensive rating. 64.3 true shooting percentage. That is excellent. 53% as a team from the field. 41%. From beyond the arc. They were plus 116 on the glass in this Cavaliers series. They won the rebounding battle by like over 10 rebounds per game. And then, we talk a lot about the Knicks offense, but again, that 103.2 defensive rating, I mean, during this 11-game run, they've held their opponents to 43% from the field, and perhaps more importantly, 29% from beyond the arc. So, it's interesting, Jeff, because like a month ago, it still felt like, yeah, you could sell me on Detroit, Cleveland, New York, the Celtics, even the Sixers. As they made their run, kind of felt like all these teams were relatively equal. All of them would be big underdogs. It'd be a miracle if they could contend with San Antonio or OKC. I don't know if I feel that way. We have some hypothetical series prices up right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook, and I think we're seeing very different numbers now than we would have even a week or two ago. I think people are kind of in on this Knicks team. Spurs minus 270 would be our final series price. Knicks plus 210. If it's OKC, just slightly heavier favorites, minus 280 versus plus 220 for the New York Knicks. For reference, Jeff, last year in the NBA Finals against your Indiana Pacers, OKC was a minus 700 favorite.
Yeah, which proved to be insane, by the way. They did win, but it was certainly the series certainly didn't play out that way. I think maybe that's part of maybe what the pricing goes to, too, is that experience. Like, hey, maybe that East-West gap isn't as massive as we thought. I also just think the Knicks are different. They're the only team in the East that it just projects as, they've won this out. They've borne it out that they have been through the battles, that they are a playoff type of team. Cleveland, they showed their warts in the first series against, first two series, really, to be honest, against Detroit, they definitely did. Even in their first series, they against Toronto, they showed those warts. I mean, we'll always have that Sunday game in Toronto, which was just an all-time low of a game period. The Knicks have not once looked like that. When they've lost, it's maybe because they didn't function well at the end in the end game or something like that. And those two losses to Atlanta, they just look like a contender. So maybe it's just, I want to see like, okay, well, the West brand is a different brand, or is it just that the Knicks are that much better than we thought they were? I think it might be even a little bit of both.
I think the Knicks have just played so well that they've forced a change of opinion. You know, they're still sizable underdogs and will be sizable underdogs when we get the actual series price, when we know who's in the NBA finals. Like there's no world in which they'll be favored. I guess unless we have some sort of catastrophic injury situations coming out of the West finals, which is part of the pricing, I think, right? You know, that OKC price -280, we don't know if Jalen Williams is going to be available if they make the NBA finals. Who knows about AJ Mitchell as well? So I think that's a little bit of part of it, is that, you know, OKC doesn't seem quite as invincible, due in part to, you know, some of their performances in this series against San Antonio, due in part to some of the injuries that they've dealt with throughout the postseason. But to me, I think it's more about the Knicks just kind of winning people over and proving that, okay, maybe the Eastern Conference wasn't just this JV tournament and whoever makes it out will end up being the sacrificial lamb. I think the Knicks should feel okay about how they match up with either of these teams. I mean, nobody has a matchup, of course, for Victor Wembanyama. And I think the Knicks, the two-headed monster of Cat and Mitchell Robinson, you know, maybe you could find something there. I think Robinson is kind of an interesting defensive matchup against Wembanyama, but how much can you really get away with him being out there offensively? But you kind of alluded to it, Jeff. It's the collection of the pieces for the New York Knicks. I mean, this has been maybe the best team in the playoffs, just in terms of everybody consistently playing well, knowing their role. You know, they go 7 or 8 deep. You know, I think that's something you could point to with Mike Brown. You know, when they controversially let go of Tom Thibodeau, I think they got to the playoffs last year and realized, oh, our bench guys haven't really played in months. You know, we were running a 6.5 man rotation for 82 games. Like, that, the Knicks have options. You know, they feel deeper than they have in recent years. But I think we're now set up for what should be a really, really fun NBA Finals, regardless of who wins the Spurs Thunder series. Whereas, you know, again, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, it just felt like, all right, the Western Conference Finals is actually the finals. I don't really feel that way anymore.
Yeah, and I think you view the Knicks in a multi-year arc too. It's not just this year. It's their cumulative experiences, you know, the last couple of years kind of grinding to this place, knocking out the Celtics last year, only to fall short against the Pacers, an epic series the year before against the Pacers, an epic series against the Pistons. They've had to learn how to grind things out a little bit there, and you'd be looking at them in that sort of arc. You know, this is a battle-tested team. The Cleveland Cavaliers, this was new territory for them. Getting to the Eastern Conference Finals in and of itself, you know, what's the epitaph on this team? Do they run it back? How do we view this team?
Well, like a lot of teams that, you know, put together a roster that can get them to the conference finals, you know, they don't have a ton of optionality. You know, I guess it's kind of the anti-OKC, where it's like, if the Thunder lose this series against the Spurs, you know, they have the break glass, a case of emergency option of, oh, we could just go trade for Giannis, or we could at least put an offer together. I don't really know what's out there for the Cavaliers. I mean, they went all in on James Harden. They traded Darius Garland, who's like 10 years younger, in order to get James Harden. And now you're in a position where I think the expectation is that Harden will opt out of his contract for next year. He'll sign on with what is, you know, allegedly a team-friendly discount. We'll see how much of a discount he's going to be willing to take. But this is kind of the team that you're saddled with right now. And if you want to do anything wild to shake up this team, you're going to have to put Evan Mobley on the table. You're going to have to put Donovan Mitchell on the table. And I think that would just be incredibly risky if you're the Cavaliers. So I don't know, Jeff, maybe the bailout scenario is maybe they bring in LeBron James at a discount, which would have to be a very steep discount given their cap sheet right now. But yeah, if you're the Cavaliers, I mean, I think most players, coaches would tell you, you know, a loss is a loss. You don't want to dwell on how it happened. To me, there was a big difference in how the Cavs lost this series. You know, getting swept in this manner, especially blowing that 20-plus point lead to begin the series, like this feels a lot different than if it had been, you know, a hard-fought 7-game series and you come up just short. This was an alarming finish to the playoffs, much like last year.
Yeah, just an utter collapse at home, too. They didn't rally. They didn't get that dead cat bounce at home, maybe for a quarter, and then that was it. You didn't get any of that yesterday. No real fight left there. Very disappointing finish there. The sidebar of Kenny Atkinson and his comments there too, that doesn't help either. Even if they were in jest, you know, there's some, you know, he did, the delivery was not great as far as that goes. We got some baseball to talk about, but first, do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Nick, we had a no-hitter yesterday, and it wasn't even the lead item. You know, first no-hitter since September of 2024. used to be there were stages there where we had a lot of no hitters, and hitting is really hard right now. But still, it's a little surprising we didn't have a single one last year. More surprising is who did it this year. Tatsuya Yamai and two other unheralded Houston Astros relievers, including a pitcher making his debut to close out the game in this one there, pitched two innings to finish that out. Just totally unanticipated no-hitter.
I think there is something that doesn't feel quite as special maybe when it's a combined no-hitter, right? You know, it's like when one guy goes the full nine, that feels like it's a bigger deal. So maybe I'm not surprised this one flew under the radar, especially with the conference finals game going on, with it being a national holiday. But yeah, nonetheless, I was also surprised to find that we did not have one at all last season. Obviously, we were close. Was that just last week with the Athletics? That one, of course, turned into a disaster scenario where the pitcher didn't even end up getting the win. But this is underscored by the Astros now winning four in a row, Jeff. And they have a lot of problems. They have a lot of injuries. They're still, what, seven games under 500, but swept the Chicago Cubs. They, of course, win that game in big fashion yesterday against the Texas Rangers. Is there any semblance of momentum coming here for the Astros? Can this combined no-hitter be the turning point in their season?
Well, just being in the American League is the turning point. That's the thing that's amazing here.
Yeah.
They're 24-31. They're only 3.5 games out in their division. They're only for the wild card, they're only 2.5 games out. The American League has two strong teams, and that's about it. So that's the thing that kind of is a real takeaway there, that hey, there's still some hope. They got Jordan Alvarez. They get Hunter Brown back in mid-June. I think that's a good pathway there to help them get back in that race. Just being in the AL West helps. We'll have to talk a little Jacob Mizorowski later in the show. We got to get to talk about his performance later on. This is Prop Points, though. We're going to do play it or pass it. Come back.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. Welcome back. It is time for another edition of Play It or Pass It. We will go through some of our favorite segments here. We'll talk about that. We're going to do a little hybrid version of basketball and baseball for this one.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
Welcome back to Prop Points and welcome back to Play It or Pass It. We got to get our animation here. I got to get in just the rhythm of getting that snazzy animation there every time there. We got Spurs against the Thunder. Big, big game five here. Spurs 4.5-point underdogs at the Thunder. That is going to be our first prop. It is all of our odds are going to be on DraftKings. The line here is +4.5. Spurs taking the points. Play it or pass it, Nick.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because this was 5.5 earlier this morning, now shortened up a little bit. And I'm not surprised because we have some pretty major injury situations still ongoing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jalen Williams is technically questionable. If I had to guess, I don't think he's out there. If he is out there, you run the risk of once again re-injuring one of the hamstrings. He's dealt with injuries to both hamstrings dating back to early in the regular season. And I think it's totally fair to wonder if we're ever going to see him truly at 100% in these playoffs. So we have that. We have AJ Mitchell, of course, who's already been ruled out. So you don't want to overreact to what we saw in game four, Jeff. But if we're assuming that, you know, Mitchell for sure is out and maybe Jay will, it's suddenly a lot of these role guys, you know, and OKC is as deep as anybody, but it's a lot of Aaron Wiggins. It's a lot of Jared McCain all of a sudden that have to almost operate as like your second or third option. Like Lou Dort has given them nothing, even though he's kind of just a spot up 3-point shooter he had taken and making more threes than any player on this team heading into the conference finals. He's been a total zero. Chet Holmgren has been awful offensively in this series. You know, they've had to find ways to get Isaiah Hartenstein involved, but they've actually been a better offensive team without him on the court. So the injuries for OKC, I think, cloud this enough that if I'm going to play a side tonight, it's going to be taking the points with the San Antonio Spurs, even though this game is in OKC. I will say this, though. You would expect some of those role guys to shoot better tonight, Jeff. If we want to just look at game four as the sample, McCain, Aaron Wiggins combined 3 of 21 from the field, 0 of 9 from beyond the arc. I think we do see better shooting for OKC at home. But again, if I'm playing a side here, I got to take the points with the Spurs.
Yeah, I kind of liken the OKC scoring system as like a four-legged stool. There's obviously SGA, there's Chet, there's Jalen Williams, and then Mitchell. You've knocked out three legs if Chet's a zero. Hard to stand on that there, because as deep as this OKC team is, it's not really a those depth pieces aren't scoring pieces. And you got to find that offense from somewhere else there. And I think that's the tricky part there.
Yeah.
Chet being a total zero has just been really crushing for this team. All right. Commentary aside, you're supposed to be doing the NBA ones. I'll back off. Let's talk about the next one here. De'Aaron Fox, over 14 and a half points, minus 106. Play it or pass it, Nick.
Yeah, so Fox is, you know, he hasn't had a major, major impact on either of these two games since returning from the ankle injury, but I think he's played well on balance, played exactly 31 minutes in both game three and game four, 12 points on 13 shots and then 15 points on 14 shots. So I think the usage has been in line with what you'd like to see and what you'd expect from Fox, given the circumstances. 14 and a half to me is a pretty fair number. You know, the Spurs, like OKC, they're deep. They have other options. You know, Dylan Harper, of course, has played well. Stephon Castle has really kind of been the number two option for them in this series. But I do think this is going to come down to, Jeff, do you think De'Aaron Fox can knock down a couple of threes? Because he has not shot it well from deep really since round one. He's just over 30%, 30.3% from beyond the arc over his last eight games. So that's the Minnesota series and then these two OKC games. I will still play this one, though. I'll play the over 14 and a half because we have seen a slightly diminished version of Dylan Harper, both in terms of just how he's looked with the eye test and what the minutes have looked like since that injury in game two. His role's cooled off a bit in the last two games, just 13 total points on 11 total shots. So we need to see Fox knock down some threes. We also need to see him get to the line. Only one free throw attempt so far in 62 minutes in this series, but did average over free throw attempts through the first two rounds of the playoffs. So I think this is a low enough number that I'll take the bait and play it.
All right. Very good. We got to play it out there. Very good. Let's talk one more basketball prop. Isaiah Hartenstein over 7.5 rebounds, minus 106. Play it or pass it.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, you know, OKC surprisingly has not been a better offense with Hartenstein on the court, you know, despite him kind of carrying them early in that game the other night, but they have been a better defense with him out there. I would lean toward playing this on the 7.5, partially because, as we talked about, Chet Holmgren is coming off of another really rough game. And I don't think Mark Daigneault at this point is going to be afraid to go away from Chet Holmgren if he needs to earlier in games. I mean, Holmgren is averaging 11 points, 6 rebounds, 47% from the field, 5 total assists, 5 turnovers so far in this series. We have a 4-game sample of him basically playing the same game over and over. If we're just looking at the rebounding for Hartenstein, he leads the Thunder by a wide margin in both total rebound and defensive rebound percentage in this series. It's really just a matter of, does he play enough minutes? If he can get even to the 18 to 20-ish range, that's probably enough for me. And if you're feeling really saucy, Jeff, if you think this is a spot where you want to fade the hell out of Chet Holmgren, you want to play something with Hartenstein, I don't think a Hartenstein double-double is totally out of the question. Plus 554 is the best price there over at DraftKings. We're going to transition over to some Major League Baseball props in just a moment. But folks, the clock is ticking on one of the best VSiN Pro offers of the year. This is your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro, normally $240 for just $199. When you sign up now, we'll give you 2 extra months free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. All you have to do is use the promo code PRO, P-R-O. You'll get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DK and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 live video plus full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, you'll get our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. This offer expires after May 31st. That is just 5 days from now, so don't wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code PRO, P-R-O. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We continue our game of Play It or Pass It here on Prop Points, taking a look at some Major League Baseball numbers for today. Jeff, Play It or Pass It, Cam Schlittler over 6.5 strikeouts plus 124.
Now, this is a really good number here. Very competitive number. Schlittler hit this number in his first four starts, like, you know, total world beater in terms of strikeouts. Then missed it in four of his next five, hit it in the last two. He did strike out just six against the Royals earlier this season in Yankee Stadium. Now they're in Kauffman. Casey has been striking out a little less recently, only a 19.2% K percentage over the last 14 days. I wouldn't go out of my way to play an under here, but I'm going to pass playing the over on this one there. I know the plus 124 is tempting. Schlittler is awesome. He is leading AL Cy Young candidate right now, but I am going to pass it.
We move over to a hitting prop, taking a look, Jeff, at Matt Olson, the over 0.5 RBI. So just has to record one RBI tonight, plus 161, play it or pass it.
You know, at first you're like, okay, number four guy in RBI in baseball right now, are you getting plus 161? Where do I sign up? He's got 42 RBI in the season. However, gone four consecutive games without an RBI, and he's going against a really tough lefty in Ranger Suarez. I'm not necessarily worried about Olson versus a lefty in his career. He doesn't have a big lefty-righty split, and sometimes even better against left-handed pitching, especially for terms of power. However, against Ranger Suarez, remember, Suarez was a Philly, and they faced each other plenty of times. 28 career at-bats against Ranger Suarez, zero RBI, 10 strikeouts against Ranger Suarez, and Suarez does have strong lefty-righty splits. I'm going to pass it. I need a better price here. I need at least plus 175. If you look at the other, and this is, to me, this whole exercise is a good like education in RBI props. That, you know, the very best RBI guys are still getting somewhere around plus 140 or so. You know, plus 160 is considered above average. I mean, it's still an above average RBI guy. I think Olson's in a tough spot here, so I need a better price.
Fair enough. Let's get one more on the card, Jeff. Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run tonight. Dodgers are home for the Colorado Rockies, taking on Kyle Freeland. Plus 243 is our price. Play it or pass it for a Shohei dinger.
So this is the opposite sort of situation where my immediate gut reaction is like, nah, I'm staying away from this one. 243, are you kidding me? That's not a great play for Dinger Tuesday. It's not a thing, by the way, Dinger Tuesday. I get people saying I should ditch the Dinger Friday thing. No, I'm not going to do that, by the way. We are going to continue don't know Dinger Friday. That's sacrosanct. Come on, people. But Shohei Ohtani's three out of his eight homers have been against lefties, so I'm not really worried about the lefty split there. Kyle Freeland's given up nine homers, only one against a lefty, even still. So I was already kind of leaning against. And then I looked at the batter versus pitcher. And I don't always like to do this, but this one's extreme. You can have small sample sizes helpful in the extreme. An 11 career at-bats against Kyle Freeland. Shohei Ohtani, 7 for 11 with two home runs. A 1939 OPS. Plus, you can now find it at 259 over at DraftKings. You can find it at 270 over at FanDuel. Shop around, obviously, when you're looking for these props, but I'm going to play it. I think it's a little fun.
Playing it on the Ohtani homer tonight again. Dodgers home for the Colorado Rockies. We'll get you some more baseball plays when we wrap up the show. We got Alex Baruta joining us next with his thoughts on the conference finals and looking ahead to the NBA finals. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. Heading out to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in one of our favorite guests, Alex Baruta, senior NBA, editor for us over at RotoWire. You can catch him on the RotoWire NBA show over on SXM NBA. Alex, we've already kind of run through the list of accomplishments for the New York Knicks over this last month. One of the most dominant runs we have ever seen in the playoffs. I think there's a case to be made that statistically it is the most dominant run we've seen. How much has your opinion changed based on, you know, especially how this conference finals series went against the Cavs as far as the Knicks and how they match up against the Spurs and the Thunder, their chances to actually win the NBA finals?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I was a relative believer in both the Hawks and the Cavaliers to make those series more competitive than they ended up being. And I guess the Atlanta series, the first two games, was pretty competitive, but then it just became a beatdown. At this point, I mean, it's hard not to have a lot of faith in New York. I mean, they do have all the talent they need. Jalen Brunson has been incredible, completely unstoppable as a player. I mean, both Atlanta and the Cavs, probably even more so Atlanta, had the tools that they needed to throw at Jalen Brunson to try to slow him down. The Cavs, you know, it was going to be more of a scheme thing. But Brunson just, you know, annihilated them every time. And look, I think they have the pieces to compete against OKC. I'll put it this way. Assuming OKC gets to the NBA Finals, which is not, guaranteed at this point. It could be either Spurs or OKC. Basically, I think New York has all the tools they need to win the NBA Finals. It would shock me if whoever they came up against, if it was a sweep, and even a five-game series at this point, would feel a bit surprising. They have everything they need between Brunson, and they have, you know, great defenders on the wing, and Kat's been playing awesome. So I think they're legit at this point as a real possibility to win the NBA Finals.
How much credit accrues to Mike Brown? Him taking him there when Thibodeau fell short. Obviously, it's been a big, big gap between Brown making the finals, first with LeBron and now with this crew at the Knicks. How much credit does he get for this?
I think he should get plenty of credit. I mean, look, the sort of game plan adjustment that he's made with Karl Anthony Towns to make him a guy at the top of the key who can pass the ball and sort of operate as a hub, that's been huge. And I also think that's helped Karl Anthony Towns conserve some energy and be better on defense, because I think Cats had a really good defensive playoffs, which is not something... Well, I mean, that was going to be one of the biggest issues for the New York Knicks, is just like, can you deal with the Brunson Cat defense? I mean, these guys are going to get put in actions all the time, and Cat's been great. And it does require buy-in from the other players as well. Like, it's not... You can't just say, oh, this is something that only happens between Mike Brown and Cat, because for that to work, guys like Bridges and Brunson and Anobi, they have to adjust to playing more off ball actions, just adopt a completely new style of play to some extent. And it's really worked so far.
Talking with Alex Barutha, one of our NBA experts, our foremost NBA expert at rotowire.com, joining us on the Progressive guest line here on Prop Points. Alex, if put yourself in the shoes of a New York Knicks fan. You're probably waking up hungover. You're still a little delirious based on what you saw last night. But who do you want to play in the finals? Is there a case to be made that you'd rather play OKC just because you don't want to deal with the Wembanyama factor? Like, if you're the Knicks, who should they be rooting for the rest of the way?
I think I'd rather play the Spurs if I'm the Knicks. I mean, it's just... again, the Spurs, if the Spurs beat OKC, then you're like, well, are they actually the more scary team? You know, they have Wembanyama, obviously. But OKC having won the finals, they have all the experience. And when it comes down to, you know, fourth quarters and game sevens and stuff like that, if I'm a Knicks fan, like, I want to be on sort of level ground to a team like San Antonio, where they haven't been in this position in the NBA finals with this core. So I think I would rather take that, because I think that's just a more even chance from like a psychology and sort of mental standpoint.
How about the Cleveland side of things? What sort of recriminations do we see? Does Kenny Atkinson actually at risk of losing his job? That press conference he had about analytics was really difficult to digest. Even if it was fully ingest, he didn't hit the notes when you're down 3-0. Maybe don't make those sort of comments, even if they are sarcastic jokes.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't, you know, and there was a video that went around of like him pregame giving a speech that was him just like leaning back in a chair and being like, just play hard. You know, and it's just like, he doesn't really seem like the guy who is rallying the troops. He's not that kind of coach, right? He is more of like an analytic sort of like scheme coach. In terms of like what could happen with Cleveland, honestly, I think anything. I think almost anything besides trading Evan Mobley is on the table. It would even be hard to say that would shock me. Like, if they go out and they call the Bucks and they're like, well, Giannis for Mobley or something like that, you know, some deal structure around that, wouldn't even shock me. Personally, I think Mobley is a guy you just keep and rebuild around. Like, he's young enough, right? You can sort of do a soft restart, like a lot of franchises do when they have a young player, young-ish, and they sort of can't live up to expectations. But yeah, Donovan Mitchell, I mean, not getting any younger. You know, you make the Harden trade. I think I'm actually okay with that. I know it's in hindsight, people are kind of tearing that apart. Like, why would you trade Garland? I didn't mind the risk, honestly. But yeah, at this point, I mean, Atkinson, 100% on the hot seat. And mostly because you have enough talent in theory. So then you're like, is this a coaching thing? Is this a motivation thing? But I really do think anything is on the table for them.
We'll get all of Alex's best bets for Spurs Thunder Game 5 in just a moment. But folks, just a reminder, Circus 2026 football contests are officially open. You don't have to live in Las Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Alex Barutha, frequent guest here on Prop Points, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. So we've talked about the Knicks. We've done some postmortem on the Cavaliers. Time to get to the matter at hand. We have a pivotal Game 5 in OKC tonight in the Western Conference Finals. Thunder sitting as a 4.5-point home favorite. We know they won't have A.J. Mitchell. They might be without Jalen Williams yet again. How do you break this game down? I know you have a whole card full of props to share with us.
Yeah, I will say I'll start with a Victor Wembanyama prop. I mean, it's the biggest name on the board, obviously, on the Spurs side. I like him under 13.5 rebounds in this game. It's -127. I saw it at Bet Rivers. Past two games, he has 12 rebounds total. So coming off an 8-rebound game, 4 before that, it's just a different situation than it was in the first two games of the series. Like, Hartenstein's more involved. I don't think the Spurs want Wembanyama necessarily fighting for offensive rebounds down low. You know, he's 3 combined offensive rebounds in the past two games. You know, if you don't send him to the offensive glass, he's going to be back on defense. And I think that more than anything is important, you know, stop OKC from getting in transition. Obviously, OKC is a great half court offense, but if you can stop their transition opportunities by keeping Wembanyama back, that's also big. And I do think to some extent, like, this Spurs team is just like, they're not a great floor spacing team. You don't necessarily want Wembanyama. Like, it's a debate, right? It's like, the guy's 7'5", should he be under the basket, all that stuff. But I think realistically, they need him spacing more as like a pick and pop guy. They don't need him like crashing the glass all the time. Like, they have Stephon Castle can crash the glass. I mean, like, Keldon Johnson can crash the glass. And I think that's what they've been doing a lot more of lately. And it's led to some success. I mean, the last game, Game 4, pretty decisive win by San Antonio.
Alex Caruso was a stud in game one of this series, 31 points. Since then, 17, 15, and then 0 last night. Not last night, in Game 4. What are you doing with him? Do you have a prop on him PRA-wise? Anything going on with Alex Caruso?
Yeah, I'm going under 14.5 PRA with Caruso. Obviously, Game 1 was ridiculous. And then he took 14 threes. And then in the two follow-up games, 4 threes, 5 threes. Then in Game 4, did not take a three, scored 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And I think some of that is just like, obviously he was not going to continue shooting 8 of 14 and taking that many attempts and everything like that. But also, you know, San Antonio switched up their defense a little bit. They were helping so far off of SGA. They were having Wembanyama basically like help off of Caruso. And that's just not happening as much anymore. They've sort of settled into like, okay, we're going to let SGA get his, but we're not going to overhelp. We're not going to let these like jump shooters get their catch and shoot opportunities, because that was killing San Antonio. And now that they've sort of, I think, shut that idea down, it's just not as much there for Caruso. And at the end of the day, Caruso is out there for his defense. Like, he's not really out there to be a playmaker. He's not really like a pump and drive guy. So, I think I'm totally comfortable fading him.
All right, real quickly, Alex, we got like 15 seconds on this. Are you just outright fading Chet Holmgren at this point? Are you willing to play any unders with him, or how else do you try to kind of strategize that?
I mean, that's not on my card, but I'm totally fine fading him. Like, I think the number is low enough to where it's like, you got to be a little bit nervous, going under, but at the same time, look, he's just not involved. Like, and when he is involved, he doesn't look comfortable. The shots are not easy. So I'd much rather play the under than the over on Holmgren.
Alex Barutha, everybody. I'll give out some plays for Game 5 tonight when we come back, and we'll get Jeff Erickson's full baseball card on the other side. You're watching Prop Points.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolling along here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. It's VSiN streaming along on SiriusXM channel 158. Jeff, as we often do, we'll finish out the show with some plays in Major League Baseball, but I'll give you a couple more spots to look at for Spurs Thunder Game 5 tonight. Alex Baruta, of course, just gave us some great plays. You know, I talked a little bit about the SGA points props on the show last week, Jeff, and basically my analysis is I'm always scared to bet the under on SGA, and look, there's been plenty of under spots for him in these playoffs, but again, it's not my belief that we're going to see Jalen Williams tonight. Maybe he plays. If he does, I don't think he's at 100%. Again, no AJ Mitchell. I think if there is a spot where we see SGA have to take 28 shots and just, you know, continue to work his way to the free throw line, I like his chances to do that better at home than on the road. So this is a spot where I would look at the over 30.5 points for SGA. I think so much is going to have to be on his shoulders in this game five. I will play that over 7.5 boards for Isaiah Hartenstein that we talked about in Play It or Pass It earlier. May dabble in that double-double at plus 554. Then on the Spurs side of things, we'll look at Devin Vassell over 2.5 threes. Best price I found was minus 106 over at FanDuel, averaging 3 makes on over 7 attempts per game over his last 7, and continuing to play a ton of minutes for this Spurs team in this series. So a few spots I'm looking at ahead of game 5 tonight. Jeff, let's talk some baseball, and let's talk a little Jacob Mizorowski, if you don't mind, just indulging me on a guy who's been the best pitcher in baseball over the last month, became the first pitcher to reach 100 strikeouts in his last outing. I saw this stat, Jeff, and this almost just, this seemed fake. Like, this is one that I thought was like from like a bot account or something. He hit 100 miles per hour 57 times in that last outing. He is now plus 370 to win the NL Cy Young. Now, if you recall, Jeff, we got together a bunch of the VSiN baseball experts back in March. We did an MLB futures draft. You can find the evidence over on the VSiN YouTube channel. How did one take Jacob Mizorowski to win the Cy Young in that draft?
Well, he was working as a reliever for a good chunk of the season last year. They couldn't get stretched out. There were some whispers about some arm concerns, managing his workload. And it wasn't just us as odds, you know, odds figurers and all that. It was beyond that. I mean, the fantasy community, the NFBC, the main event, the premier fantasy league series of fantasy contests out there, the main event where people are plunking down good money. Nobody, you know, the average draft position for Jacob Mizorowski was pick 106. Cam Schlitter, by the way, is the one player right before him at pick 104. So I thought that's kind of funny that two of the three best pitchers in baseball right now, probably over pick 100. The earliest anybody took Jacob Mizorowski was pick 83. So we all kind of missed the boat on this one here a little bit. I think it's hilarious. As of like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were still getting like 15-1 on Jacob Mizorowski. And he's just been so dominant in those last couple starts. It's hard. It's just hard to imagine now. And yet the NL Cy Young race, I mean, it's just fascinating. Chase Burns goes tonight. He's number 6. He's kind of the odd man out of this elite tier. But Sanchez is 2-1. Mizorowski's plus 370. Skeens is 4-1. He's had 2 bad starts by his standards in a row. Ohtani is amazing every time out. He's 6-1. Sales is plus 650. I mean, there's just so many good options. Compare that to the American League, where there's only three pitchers under 10-1, and one of those is on the IL right now. So many of the top candidates have gone by the wayside due to injury. I think it's just a fascinating topic right now. I can't talk about it enough. I think it's really fascinating. I wish I would have taken him over Logan Webb, that's for sure. Remember, everyone was mad when I took Logan Webb in that draft. There were like three people like, threw down their pencils or whatever. You know, Matt Brown was mad at me. I remember that. I think it's hilarious how the worm has turned on this whole conversation.
Yeah, like you said, 5 guys plus 650 or shorter right now for that NL Cy Young. That's even with Paul Skeens having back-to-back shaky outings. He's still sitting there at 4-1. Seems kind of wild to me that Mizorowski is not the favorite. It does feel like the narrative is with him right now. But as you mentioned, Christopher Sanchez, 2-1. Your odds on favorite over at DraftKings. Let's get to the Tuesday slate in Major League Baseball, Jeff. Let's head out to Pittsburgh, where we have the ice cold, hate to see it, Chicago Cubs on the road, taking on the Pirates, Jordan Wicks, Braxton Ashcraft on the hill. What do we like here?
By the way, I like your interdivisional hate. That's what I really like here. When it comes to the Cubs and Cardinals every time out, Brewer is facing the Cardinals right now. It's good times to be a Nick. Good time to be a Nick Whalen right now. I will say that a couple of things that are interesting to me on this one here. Nico Horner is in a big slump. Seiya Suzuki is a little bit of a slump. Both sat out yesterday. Jordan Wicks is in there replacing Edward Cabrera. It's just the starting pitching injuries for the Cubs have been kind of ridiculous. That's been an underplayed story. The Pirates have an improved offense. 326 WOBA over the last 30 days. That's a top five offense. However, against lefties, they're only 297, which is slightly below average. 300 is about average. They're like 19th or 20th against lefties. They are vulnerable to them here. Jordan Wicks does throw with his left hand. I confirm this. Research shows this. He is a left-handed pitcher. Their top hitter, the Pirates' top hitter, is all lefty hitters here too. So I think the Cubs break this little slump tonight. I think they finally win. I'm taking the Cubs on the money line plus 115 over at BetMGM.
Okay. I hope you're wrong. I'll be actively rooting against this pick, Jeff, but I respect it nonetheless. Cubs money line on the card. Let's head out to Boston, where we have the Atlanta Braves taking on the Red Sox. Strider going up against the lefty Ranger Suarez. And you have a Strider prop for us.
I do indeed. And you know, the question is, are we back with Spencer Strider? It's a good question. I think we are. 8 strikeouts last time out. He's got a 32.6% K percentage. The walks are a concern. 14.9% walk percentage. That's sky high. That's untenable. That's the one thing I do worry about a little bit there. He's walked at least two batters in every one of his four outings. Fortunately, I can't find a walk prop right now on Strider. I'd love to bet the over 1.5 if it was out there. If it's even at a reasonable price, if you're looking later today and you find over 1.5 walks, anything better than minus 150, I think I would take it. Because I think that feels like a pretty good proposition there. The Red Sox, though, they're cold. They got swept at home by the Twins over the weekend. They're struggling more in Fenway than anywhere else, and just struggling, period, in Fenway. 8-17 at home in this one here. So I'm going to go Spencer Strider over 6.5 strikeouts, plus 118 over at DraftKings.
We have Sandy Alcantara on the hill for the Miami Marlins going up against the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto tonight. Blue Jays minus 144 on the money line. Totals down at 7.5. Keep an eye out for an update on Vlad Guerrero Jr. He was held out of the lineup yesterday with an elbow issue. No indication that he's heading to the IL, but day-to-day for now. How are you breaking this one down, Jeff? I see we have a money line play on a visiting team.
Yeah, as much as I like the primary pitcher, the primary reliever for the Blue Jays and Spencer Miles, fascinating story. They're going to be having Braden Fisher opening for them. The Jays, their juju is down offensively a little bit there. They struggled yesterday against the Marlins. If they don't have Guerrero in the lineup, I think it's a pretty big blow. I do love Spencer Miles, though. Only 14 2/3 innings of professional innings dating back to 2022. He's had a back surgery, an elbow surgery. He was plucked in the Rule 5 draft, had a really good Arizona Fall League campaign. Their scouts did a good job to find him, and he's been very good for the Blue Jays at a time when they really needed him. However, I think Alcantara is going to have a good outing against these said Blue Jays tonight. I like the Marlins money line, plus 120 over at FanDuel. Taking a couple of underdogs today on those money lines.
It's been a rough season so far, Jeff, for the New York Mets. Just when it's felt like there's been some glimmers of hope. You know, they won 6-7 at one point. They get swept down in Miami over the weekend. My Twitter feed was flooded with Mets complaints. They now host the Cincinnati Reds and your guy, Chase Burns, going up against David Peterson. What do you like here?
Yeah, I love Chase Burns, first of all. I love watching him go on a regular basis there. He's even been better on the road than he's been at home. He's just rolling right now, 28.2% K percentage. Watch to see if Juan Soto plays in this one here. If he does not play, I probably take the Chase Burns strikeout prop as well. I thought that was a little bit of it was a really tough number, so I kind of stayed away from it there. Sneakily, the Reds' offense is not better, though. Even though they're playing better ball this year against lefties, 25.4% K percentage, fifth in Major League Baseball. We're going to go over the little David Peterson over strikeout prop, over 5.5 Ks. That's a different line than most books, which has it at 4.5, but you're getting plus 120 over at MGM. So I'm going with that line at 5.5 strikeouts for David Peterson.
Let's finish out with our best bets of the night, Jeff. Anything else that we didn't get to on the baseball card, and then your favorite play in Major League Baseball?
Two things real quick. One, on that Red Sox Braves game, I like the under 8.5 over at Bet Rivers, minus 121. We talked Shohei Ohtani and player to pass it on the home run prop. I like the hits plus runs plus RBI. You get one home run, you get that anyhow, but you also get, you know, some other ways to get there. Plus 107 at DK to get over 2.5.
Give me the under 217.5 in Spurs Thunder tonight. Again, I think this is a spot where we have to see SGA carry this team offensively. I don't know who steps up beyond him. The second highest points prop for any Thunder player tonight is sitting at 12.5. I think this is another defensive battle between two of the best defensive teams in the NBA. So give me that under 217.5. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Money Moves coming your way next here on BC. We'll be right back.